going on, everybody? Welcome into the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Clemens. Here with me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Michael Plant and Ike Bonney. What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Not a whole lot. Just laughing my ass off a whole lot pre-show.
Yes, you've only been producing this show for going on 3 seasons now?
And another show for another year, so I mean.
And you don't know what you're doing still, so.
That's fine. I mean, you've been doing this for the same amount of time, and you still can't properly intro us sometimes. So, you know, but that's all right. Shade, let's just move on.
All right, let's just move
on.
I'm
switching on this.
So, yeah, what we're doing tonight, we're just kind of doing a whole hodgepodge of stuff. We're going to give you some training camp news. Some of it's small, some of it's kind of big news, I guess. And then we're going to do... what are we doing, guys? Where it's a mailbag episode. We got like 10 or so questions we're just going to run through and just answer. So,
is it throwing shade if he does it 30 seconds later?
I mean, you can do it.
I thought you'd like that. But before we get started with what we're doing, please like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Check out the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel. Hit the like button there. Subscribe to the channel if you already don't. We'd appreciate it. And then while you're doing that, also head on over to fantasysixpack.net/plans and check out our plans, guys. For $10 a month, you get access to the cheat sheet and projections, access to our award-winning rankings, access to our Discord. That's the best part, in my opinion. And just this past weekend, we also launched an all access for the full season for $40, guys. That's 6 months for $40. So it's pretty much half off, and it's a smoking deal.
I'm pretty sure, because I talked to Joe about it, you get the last month for free. I mean, that's a hell of a deal.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely perfect deal. So, and, you know, these next 2 weekends are the biggest draft weekends there is. So get them while you can. And if you use promo code F6P early, you get 25% off as well. So even more discounts there, guys.
Dang.
So yeah, the link's scrolling at the bottom of the page. So just go check that out. And then Michael Plant, how about you give a shout out to our sponsor for the episode?
All right. Our sponsor for the episode is American Raz. You can see it scrolling down below if you want to go to the link. I mean, honestly, it's easier just going to Facebook and typing in American Raz. Than probably using that link. But like it says down at the bottom, all your sports memorabilia needs. I wouldn't say it's a one-stop shop, but, you know, for this area, it's a pretty good sports memorabilia place to get some, you know, local, you know, Badger, Fighting Illini. You got Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bulls. All you can find in this area, you pretty much get there.
Yeah, but, I tried to win a Debo Samuel signed mini helmet in there last week for $15. I didn't win, unfortunately, but yeah, you win some, you lose some. But what we do plan on doing this week is doing a raffle for one of our all-access passes, to where if you get a spot in the raffle in that Raz room, you could win the six-month all-access for $4. You know, and that's, like I said, that's great.
And that's for a full season, isn't it?
Yes. Yep. Right. But yeah, let's just jump right into the training camp news, guys. The first things first, I don't know if anyone knows who Daz Newsome is besides me, Ike, and LaPlante. Me and Ike, because we're Bears fan. But Daz Newsome was waived by the Chicago Bears 6th-round pick from last year. Don't really need to say a whole lot else about that. Next piece of news go ahead.
Gives more hope for Cole Kmet, more volume.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't. And I mean,
just listen to these receivers that are probably making a team then, guys. I mean, obviously, you got Darnell Mooney, Equanimeous St. Brown, Byron Pringle, and then it's like Tajee Sharp and maybe Dante Pettis. Are those the five, maybe, Ike? That's
N'Keal Harry, maybe?
He's out until November with that high ankle sprain. So it's definitely
maybe
not
they
great.
Maybe they go and sign some of the other receivers that get cut in the future training camp news.
They should have signed T.Y. Hilton.
Nah, I see
a perfect slot receiver. can mentor the young guys.
You could say that about almost every damn receiver in the NFL. Pretty much. Yeah, he's the perfect slot. He's 34, 35 years old, but he's the perfect slot.
I saw maybe Marquez Callaway could be a training camp casualty, could be cut since they had so much depth at wide receiver. I know it's not ideal, man, but he's at least shown flashes to where he could be competent at times. You know what I mean?
You are looking for competency.
Yes. But on the plus side, at least Darnell Mooney looks legit from everything we've seen and heard.
Yes. And he gets up for a little guy.
He's awesome, man. He's absolutely awesome. The next piece of news, we got Damian Pierce looking like the week one lead back for the Houston Texans. Are you buying that, Ike?
Yes, I am, actually. I
like the confidence.
I don't think Marlon Mack is impressing as much as they thought. And Damian Pierce is just actually really good. I think LaPlante was the one that told me yesterday about, I don't know what exactly you said, but his coaches like kind of held him back a little bit.
Oh,
yeah. So he didn't get to show his true talent. So now he gets two in the NFL. I think they're going to give him a full go.
Yeah, the Florida coach staff was a nightmare. LaPlante, anything to add?
That's who it was. I was wrong. I did tell Ike he went to Miami. It was Florida. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, him and the coaches for some reason had beef, and they never wanted to use him. I don't know what it is, but hopefully they use him now, you know, with this news and training camp and finally seeing, you know, he's the most talented guy they have in the backfield.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't think he's going to get the receiving stuff. That's going to go to Burkhead.
Yeah. Maybe.
But he's talented enough. He might work his way into it.
Maybe, yeah.
Next piece of news, Packers trading offensive lineman Cole Van Lanen to the Jaguars for an undisclosed pick. It ended up being a seventh-round pick.
The reason I put this in here, because I'm sure you had no idea why I'm throwing an offensive lineman trade in here, is because, one, I think this helps Trevor Lawrence, and two, this helps the running game for your boy Etienne.
Sure.
Yeah, perhaps. But – jumping over to the Atlanta Falcons, guys, they released Auden Tate and Geronimo Allison. If the Bears have the worst wide receiving corps in the NFL, Atlanta's the close second.
Oh, I thought you were going to say us get one of those two.
If they're a close second, how can they cut them?
Dude, you stop fading on the zucchini, bro. Olamide Zaccheaus is going to be a beast.
He's not going to be a beast.
He's not going to be a beast, but
absolute soup laser from Mariota last.
That was a good pass. Probably the best pass he had. I mean, that you see the pass he had to Kyle Pitts.
If he could actually run it to him in stride, so bad on like a barely tight move.
I know, but if Mariota could hit Pitts in stride, Pitts was easy touchdown. But Pitts had to slow down, and he still caught it like this. Like that's the targets he's going to get this year.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% positive if all the Jets starters on defense were playing last night, but some people are saying the Jets could be sneaky good because of all the weapons on offense. Their defense is still going to be atrocious.
Which is kind of funny, it's brutal.
Salah's a defensive-minded head coach, and their defense...
He just doesn't have the guys for it.
Yeah, no, I know. He's trying to rebuild it on the fly and everything, but it's looking rough when Atlanta's just marching the ball downfield on you like that, you know.
Oh, I know, and it's preseason, and it's Mariota, and they don't even have Drake London in.
Desmond Ritter even did pretty well.
Yeah, Desmond Ritter looks good, man. I think he has a future in this league. I just don't know if it's a starter or a backup position.
Mm-hmm.
Mix of both.
Yeah, exactly. Jumping over the Raiders next, Mike. I'm a little weirded out why you put this Josh Jacobs. True RB one role, most definitely in jeopardy.
Because that's the update I got from him. Give me 1 second. I believe it was NBC Sports Edge.
They're gonna give it to Zamir White then.
Yep, and NBC Sports Edge Football reported Jacobs' true RB one role most definitely in jeopardy.
Oh, I don't.
That might just be third down. Then
I don't necessarily agree with that. Yeah,
I mean, that does make sense. I mean, true RB1 is getting the passing down work,
but that's never been him though, man. I know you said he caught 53 balls last year, but
yep, 63 targets.
They've kind of always had that pass catching back in the offense, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's probably going to be. Not going to be Kenyon Drake anymore.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that on the Fantasy Six Pack news cycle yesterday. Go check that out on the YouTube channel. Zamir
White was that good of a receiving back?
So. They got no. The receiving back of the offense is Amir Abdullah, right?
And Brandon Bolden.
Yeah, that's what we talked. Yep, that's what we talked about.
But no, Amir Abdullah is the one that you know. McDaniels is the one that said, "Yep."
So he's the thing again. The
well, yeah, we saw him last year when he was eating into Chuba's workload when he was the handcuff to McCaffrey, obviously.
Interesting.
All right, but I mean, if you got anything else on that topic?
No, let's just pull up this question here. Yes, sir. How much does Michael Carter hurt Breece Hall's value, if he does at all? LaPlaya, you want to go ahead and take this, or you want me to?
Yeah, I can start off for you. So, originally I was thinking, you know, with the high draft capital, Breece Hall was going to have the full workload. But, I mean, this is still the same coaching staff that drafted Michael Carter in the fourth round last year. Michael Carter has a good set of skills in the pass catching game. And when you're a team like the Jets, it's never a terrible, you know, thing having too much talent. So, I figure they're going to work Michael Carter into some targets there. It's just a matter of, you know, whether they try working him in the slot or if it's out of the backfield. And with the receiving core they have, I see it being more out of the backfield than the slot. And that's going to eat into Breece Hall's, you know, production a little bit. So I don't know if, you know, RB1 is in his future for this year because of the offense is not, you know, it's predicted to be better, but it's not going to be great. And if he doesn't get the full workload, you're not going to be an RB1. But I think he'll be fringe, you know, RB1, high-end RB2.
Yeah, I get it. You got anything to add?
I just think they might do, like, a series-type switch-off thing. Like, maybe one drive's going to be Breece Hall, one drive might be Michael Carter, something they did in North Carolina with him and Javonte. I think they're both going to get a lot of work. It just might hurt both of their values just a little bit.
In my honest opinion, as the offseason keeps progressing, I think that it's looking more and more like Breece Hall's backfield.
He looks good.
And he's got the second round draft capital. I'm pretty sure they traded up for him. He has the capabilities of being a three down back. I'm not saying he will be in this offense right away. But as the season progresses, I think he's going to definitely end up being the guy. Like towards the end of the season, we could see a 70-30 split, and that's fantastic, nowadays.
It definitely won't be 50-50. It's probably going to be 60-40 for Breece Hall, and that can work its way up to 70-30, maybe even 80-20 if he's that good.
Speaking of 70-30 and 80-20, I'm just going to do this now about David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert, man. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on Twitter about how people don't want to draft David Montgomery because of Khalil Herbert. And in all honesty, I just don't see it anymore. I got it earlier this offseason because it made sense with the Luke Getsy coming over from the Packers, and maybe it'd be more of a committee. But everything we've seen from Khalil Herbert in this preseason so far that we wanted to see from him, like to be able to pass block, to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield, and to be efficient on the ground, and we just haven't seen it. I know that the offensive line isn't good, but
no, it's not good at all. I think you actually you overestimated that by saying they're not good.
It's
they
brutal.
Are terrible. It's atrocious.
It's bad.
I don't know how David Montgomery can even average 3 yards a carry.
That's what I'm saying. But Montgomery has been pretty efficient behind a bad offensive line these past couple of seasons, you know? And you know what he does good? He does pass block really well. He does catch the ball out of the backfield well. So why would the Bears and this coaching staff lean more on Khalil Herbert when Montgomery does all those things better than Herbert? And we've seen it.
Different scheme though. He's going to be playing more, I would assume, from shotgun, which I feel like
See, that's not what we've seen from the preseason. Like, we've been seeing them use a lot of two tight end sets, and they're even using a fullback, and that helps Montgomery even more because he's that kind of back. You know, Nagy was famous for saying, "I didn't come here to run the I formation." I think we're going to see a ton of the I formation this year. Like, they got two fullbacks on their roster. They'll probably only keep one, but the fullback's definitely going to be in play, kind of like how San Francisco uses their guys. You know, and I just think
that's just going to clog the line even more for Dave Montgomery.
But that's also going to help the offensive line be able to run block better with two tight ends
on the field and a fullback. Cooked, though. All seven of the guys are going to get cooked.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I hope.
But to be honest with you, Dave Montgomery is a running back who I'm targeting late, guys. And I know I'm ranting a little bit, but I'm just going to keep rolling with it here. I've been doing, and we've talked about this before, I've been doing a lot of drafts, and I've been starting like the first three rounds just punting on running back, especially if I'm picking late in drafts. Like, say, wink, wink, if I'm picking eighth in a 10-team or a 12-team league, and Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, or Ja'Marr Chase are on the board at eight, like, I'm taking Cooper Kupp, you know, and then I don't really love any of the running backs coming back to me right there. So I'm just going to stack another receiver on top of Cooper Kupp, like a CeeDee Lamb or something, if he's there. And then on the way back, you know, Michael Pittman, you got three stud receivers right there. And then maybe in the fourth round, there's David Montgomery. There's Breece Hall, who we just talked about. There's Josh Jacobs sitting there. You know what I mean? I'm okay with getting one of those guys and then hopefully being able to get a Travis Etienne, an AJ Dillon, who has the ceiling that we've talked about, and pairing those two together. And I think you're doing okay if you start out with three stud receivers and two running backs like that. You agree or no?
The only thing is you're betting a lot on the upside of it would be Etienne or something. And that's hard to do, especially when running back could be, especially this year, is pretty scarce. Not going to lie. I mean, there's like 10 running backs that you feel safe with. I mean, even the other ones.
Like, that's just why I'm out, man.
I know. But you still need at least one of the top 12, I feel like.
That's where we disagree. What if you had, you can't tell me you're not coming away with this. If you're coming away with Cooper Kupp, CeeDee Lamb, and T. Higgins with your first three picks right there, or
I would love that, but I would be
CeeDee Lamb or Michael Pittman, you know, something like that.
But I feel like I'd much rather have like a food be like a Dalvin Cook and then probably Stephon Diggs instead of Cooper Kupp, because that way you actually have a spot filled on both sides. That way you don't completely punt running back. Because
is that what you consider punting running back? Is what I just said?
Yeah, because Etienne's not going to be a full workhorse. I feel like there's no chance. I just don't see it because Robinson's progressing a little bit better than we thought. Dave Montgomery has a chance to be a workhorse back, but like you said, Khalil Herbert's getting a lot of attention, so you never know. So I feel like for a running back with your first one, you want one that is for sure known role that's going to get his 20 touches or whatever, like a Dalvin Cook.
I think I've let you have the floor for long enough.
You did. Go ahead.
Both of you two. So this is the devil's advocate, you know, take of it here. I get it. I understand the value of the running backs that are in the dead zone this year because this is probably honestly the best year for it.
That's it. Out of all that jibber-jabber I just did, that was the point that I was trying to get to. So thank you for making my point, Mike.
But are they, though?
But
yes. Because in the dead zone, it's Elijah
compared
Mitchell.
Compared to past years, this is better. But the reason why I'm also on your side here, Ike, here, more than Dylan's, I was just getting his point across, is because I'm looking at the top 36 scorers in PPR last week because that's what we mainly focus on. 13 of those top 36, so pretty much a third, were wide receivers. All right. The depth at wide receiver at which you could possibly find one of those top 12 to 13 guys getting in the top 36 is much better than getting one of the – you got Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Najee Harris, Joe Mixon, Leonard Fournette, James Conner, and Ezekiel Elliott. Seven running backs there that are in the top 36 that actually scored. So the depth at wide receiver, it's just much more deeper. So you can get lucky and, you know, hit on a Stephon Diggs, hit on a Cooper Kupp in the late rounds, and still solidify that running back position, because we know the injuries are going to hit it, and we need that depth. But yeah. Go on, Ike.
Like, you can get a Chris Godwin. I'd rather go heavy on running back and then, like, a zero wide receiver, because Chris Godwin could be your number one wide receiver, and you can still win a lot of fantasy games because he is going to get a lot – as long as he's healthy, by the way, first, but – he's going to get a lot of the targets no matter what. And then you can get Elijah Moore, or who else is around that range? Rashad Bateman you can get. All those guys are better than like Elijah Mitchell, Josh Jacobs. I don't want to throw AJ Dillon in there because I actually like them.
We got Kareem Hunt, Devin Singletary, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tony Pollard, DeAndre Hopkins. You know, Devontae Smith, kind of that range.
The problem that I have with that, Ike, and I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate as well here, is what happens if you load up on running back early? You know just as well as I do, they are the most injury-prone position in fantasy
I've football. Done it so many years in a row.
If you load up early and say you draft three running backs in the first four rounds, what if two of those guys go down? All of a sudden, your core roster strength is no more because you didn't draft those absolute stud wide receivers. Hold on, let me go, Mike. Sorry. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm looking to attack Cooper Kupp, who's could see 160 targets again. I think we could agree on that. CeeDee Lamb, he could see 160 targets. I think we could agree on that because of everything that's gone on there. And if you can turn around and get Michael Pittman in the third round somehow, Matt Ryan, when, you know, Julio and Calvin Ridley were the guys, they were seeing 140, 150, 160 targets. And Frank Reich has said the Colts don't want Jonathan Taylor leading the league in carries this year. And I feel like they're going to trust Matt Ryan more. So they're going to throw more, and sky's the limit for Michael Pittman this year as well. That's where
more I'm than likely going. Your third wide receiver won't be Pittman. He'll probably go a little bit after. I'm thinking more your third wide receiver would be like
Pittman's going out as wide receiver 37. So the beginning of the fourth.
I mean,
round.
You mean
so,
overall 37?
Yeah, sorry. Wide receiver overall 12, 37. 13. The back of the fourth round, you're looking at your wide receiver three being Jalen Waddle, Terry McLaurin, but DJ Moore, that's still great. DK Metcalf, yeah, sure. I know DK's got his warts, but as your wide receiver three, and you know there's going to be weeks where he gets his touchdowns and gets his big plays, he could be really useful there as well. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just going to keep it sweet and simple so we can get to our question here because we've already ranted on it long enough. We could play the what if game all day about injuries. We could play it with your wide receivers that, you know, you just talked 3 minutes about. I mean, what's stopping Michael Pittman from rolling an ankle, God forbid, you know, going in and out of a route? We could play that game all day. But the thing is the name of the game when it comes to fantasy football, and you can agree with this, we're looking for consistency. All right. And Cooper Kupp put a skewed image of consistency in our brains off of last year. He was super uber consistent, the most consistent we've seen since Jerry Rice. All right. It's not going to happen again. So stop chasing that, you know, consistency from a wide receiver. It is one of the most inconsistent positions in fantasy football. Mm-hmm. That is why you can get one so late. That's the only reason I disagree with it, because running backs are at least more consistent. You're guaranteed touches. Those wide receivers, man, you get locked up by Jalen Ramsey, you're not guaranteed those targets anymore.
Fair enough.
I don't know, man. That's why I'm hunting the volume with those receivers. Like
I said, get that.
The targets, you know.
But let's hop into our question here, because we've already waited long enough. All right. Sorry about this, Homer. We had to go on our rant. This is our rant episode. But he just wants to say hi, guys. Everyone say hi. He just got offered Kelce, AJ Brown, and Kareem Hunt for Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott, and Chris Godwin. What do you guys think? It's a half PPR redraft. I'm glad he said redraft. Dylan, you want to take the reins on this one first, or Ike, do you want to?
I'm wondering if you trade away. So you'd be trading away Kamara, Zeke, and Godwin, right?
For Kelce, AJ Brown, Hunt.
Yeah. I believe he has Kamara, Zeke, and Godwin. He'd be trading it away for Kelce, AJ Brown, and Kareem Hunt. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Homer, I'm curious to see what the rest of your running backs look like on your roster if you're trading. If you're able to trade away Kamara and Zeke, that's what scares me. I might be talking in both sides of my mouth here after I just went on the wide receiver running back rant there, but I don't know if I would be willing to trade both of those running backs. I'm not big. I'm not huge. Tight end builds, you know, with Kelce there. And I'm not a huge fan of A.J. Brown, so I think I would stay pat with that one.
I mean, you get the best player in the trade. I'm looking here, and probably your best player in that trade is Travis Kelce. You get the positional advantage. You're getting the top-tier tight end. But you're getting I think a slight upgrade. Ike would disagree with me with AJ Brown compared to Chris Godwin. Just because of the injury. That's the only thing that scares me with Chris Godwin. AJ Brown's healthy. He's still an animal. He was all right with Ryan Tannehill, and we saw him in the playoffs. He's not that great of a quarterback. So Jalen Hurts can, I think, get it done. But you are taking a downgrade at RBs, which is by far my favorite position in fantasy football because it helps you win championships. It's a great foundation.
Unless he's got a lot of good ones. He's got Saquon.
He's got Saquon after this. So he'd be getting Saquon and Kareem Hunt. And, man, that's scary. I like Saquon this year as my RB1, but having Kareem Hunt as my RB2.
I like the Kamara, Zeke, Barkley more. Barkley and your flex or whatever, I like that.
I do. I think if you can, if anything – Ike's again going to disagree with me. Try and trade away Chris Godwin. Maybe package him with either Zeke or a Kamara. But not, don't get rid of Kamara and Zeke. We're going to get Kamara with no suspension. So we're getting, full exposure to him this year. Zeke's coming off a injury year where he's healthy now. He's, constantly been saying it. I think the volume's there for him. I say stay put. And try to, counter with a Godwin or, a Zeke trade or Godwin or Kamara trade. And honestly, I'd be targeting Kelce, if anything. Get that positional advantage. Ike, any comments?
I agree. Like I said, go Kamara, Zeke, and Barkley. I like that more than just having Barkley and Hunt.
I know, because you want him to keep Godwin.
and Saquon is just such a sketchy RB1 because, unfortunately, we know he can't stay healthy.
Dude, him at flex, though? That's some crazy
Can you
shit.
Really say, though, that we know he can't stay healthy? I mean, he's got pretty unlucky the past couple years.
Yeah, I agree. I've said that numerous times. Yeah, that's true, but it's just – it's scary there, with him.
The situation is scary. The talent is there. I think the health is there this year, but the situation is the scariest part.
The volume should be there, too. He's really the only guy there,
Well, I heard – I can't remember where I heard this from, unfortunately, but I heard Brian Daboll has been – no, it was Danny Heifetz from The Ringer. He was saying that Brian Daboll has been trying to teach Saquon Barkley to be more of a north-south runner and stop dancing around and try to make the big play. And if he could do that –
Dude, he's big enough to do that. He's a big guy.
I know. We'd get everything we want in Saquon if he could just average four and a half yards.
Not dancing back there. You're not going to do anything.
But what if he doesn't dance and he doesn't hit those big plays, guys?
I mean, he's eventually, just by attrition, going to hit those big plays. You look at Derrick Henry late in games.
Derrick Henry is just – nobody wants to tackle.
He's an animal, but I mean, look at Saquon. Saquon's a pretty physical specimen himself. Do you want to get in front of him?
I would rather get in front of him over Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry would send me to the nether realm.
That's he could do that with just a stiff arm.
Stand on the tracks when the trades come in.
My head would pop straight off from the stiff arm.
I think you'd have a permanent imprint, you know, palm on your hand, on your face.
Yep. Just to jump into the next piece of news after, wow, that was a wild quite conversation a there for a minute. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan told reporters that running back Elijah Mitchell is on track to return week one versus the Bears. Elijah Mitchell is not someone who we've talked a whole lot about this podcast. So, Ike, I'm going to go ahead and kick it to you. How do you feel about him heading into the season? He is currently going as the overall...
Give me a second. I got him.
Running back 21 and overall player 48. So the top of the fifth round.
I don't want anything to do with him.
I'm getting
him. I legit haven't drafted him anywhere. I just think they got so many running backs that they want to try out that I just don't think he's going to get enough work. And he never really got the PPR work, did he?
They don't really tend to throw the ball to their running backs in general, right, unless you're Kyle Juszczyk.
So there's like four or five guys there that can still produce, and Elijah Mitchell currently is dealing with injuries, which you never know. So, yeah, I'm fade him. That's what I'd be going with.
I honestly think the 49ers backfield is they're just going to roll with the hot hand. I think it's Elijah Mitchell's job to lose, but there's a decent chance at some point he's going to lose it because of like what you just said, all the running backs behind him. And as soon as he gets dinged up, next man up, you know, they TDP, Terry Davis Price, Trey Sermon, you know, Jeff Wilson Jr.
Oh, don't mention Trey Sermon.
You never know, man.
Why?
No.
Don't say that, Mike.
He's going to college.
And they've talked a little bit about him this spring, this training camp and stuff. So never say never.
I'm not saying never. I'm just saying don't tell me.
Especially
about
in this, especially
not until it happens.
Especially this offense, man. Nobody knew who Elijah Mitchell was last year until all of a sudden he was the week one starter for the.
I got another point to say too. Trey Lance is going to take away some carries as well from – I totally forgot about that.
Not only carries, but red zone carries, the most important carries of them all.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, that's the thing with the Niners. When it comes to, you know, I'm more worried about the injuries because somehow this team has managed to be one of the most injured teams in the recent years of the NFL. I don't know how it's possible, knock on wood, that, you know, they can fix it. But, I mean, like you made that point, Dylan, you know, one man gets dinged up, it's the next man up, and we've seen it before in Jeff Wilson Jr. We've seen it before in Hasty. Who was the other one? I don't want to say Trey Sermon's name.
Trey Sermon didn't do anything, but he can.
Exactly. But that's the thing. We haven't seen
Breida.
We haven't seen it for Trey Sermon yet. I want somebody who's actually done it before. That's all.
Yeah.
I hope it becomes a thing.
The 49ers backfield's always sketchy, and it's going to continue to be sketchy.
That's why you always get the cheapest one in drafts.
Yep. Yeah. They're just riding the hot hand, and so should you for your fantasy teams if you're starting one. The last piece of news we got, Ravens placed Gus Edwards on the PUP, forcing him to miss at least the first four games of the season. Good news for J.K. Dobbins owners. I mean, that means his only backup now is pretty much Mike Davis, and we saw what he had in Atlanta last year. So it's not great. So in my opinion, wheels up for J.K. Dobbins.
It is better offense, better offensive line. The one thing I will state about Davis, he might get more vulturing opportunities, if anything.
I don't know. Dobbins was good in the red zone.
He is. So I'm just saying, if Dobbins, the way they plan, the way I see them running this offense this year, because last year was an anomaly. They're not passing nearly as much as they did last year. They plan on running it at least be more balanced, you know, probably tilt more the run heavy side. But if J.K. Dobbins, you know, has like 5-6 carries to get him down to the red zone, he might get vultured by Mike Davis.
Fair, or even Lamar, whatever.
Even Lamar, great point.
It's probably going to be Lamar, I think, because Lamar had a decent amount of touchdowns his first couple of years, and then last year it just plummeted. So regression in a good way, I feel like, is coming back to Lamar with touchdowns with his legs.
Absolutely. No, he just runs the ball way too much to get. Oh, man, where is he? I'm going to have to control find him. He just runs the ball too much to not get those touchdowns. I mean, over 60-plus rushing attempts in every single year he's been in the league, even when he's been injured. Mm-hmm. It's just stupid volume.
Yeah, we should probably touch on Dobbins not getting any work in the passing game either because of the legs of Lamar, too. You know, his big thing is just his efficiency. That it was there before the ACL injury, and hopefully it's there when it comes back this year.
I mean, J.K. saw a little bit of pass production, though. So if he has enough of the volume that we predict him to have and he gets a little bit of the passing work, man, that's just icing on the cake. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Just go ahead, jump right into our mailbag questions now.
One question for us. Yeah, okay. our one of our favorite fans has a guest, guys. We got to answer it for him. Oh man, I'm guessing this is QB1, Lawrence, Tua, or Fields for his draft. I'm assuming he's leading Tua. Fields. All right. Oof, man.
I don't hate Fields because of the rushing floor, Dino. Mm-mm. But I think I would personally lean Tua here, though, just because of the weapons. And I've been kind of on the Tua train last year and this year. He's very accurate. You know, he's just going to get the ball in the hands of the receivers behind the line of scrimmage, and they're just going to go. Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle. I think he's going to have a solid season. But if you want to go Fields and chase that upside because of that rushing floor, I totally get that too.
Man, I think if you really want to reach for the stars, you go Tua hoping for that breakout year.
I thought you were going to say Lawrence for a second.
I was going to freak out. Hear me out. I'll get to him after. Tua is your ceiling. Reach for the stars. You know, if he hits, he's winning you the league. Sure. Because he's got the weapons. All he's got to do is dump it off 5-10 yards to Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle. All right. Now, it's a matter if he can do this. That's the big question. Tua was supposed to be the Trevor Lawrence before Lawrence came out. Like, he was supposed to be the next big thing until his hip flexor injury. Exactly. So I think it is still a possibility for Tua to do that. So if you really want to reach for those stars, go Tua. Your safest pick in this situation, and I know you're not going to agree with me, is Trevor Lawrence over Fields. I know you say Fields is safe because of the high rushing floor, but hear me out. Lawrence had 73 rushing attempts last year on a shitty offense. I can only imagine it's probably going to be around the same on a better offense where he's going to score probably more than 12 touchdowns. That's just through the air. He had two on the ground. So I think your safer bet is Lawrence with better weapons. It's like if we want to go the AT&T bars in this situation, I think Fields – and I'm talking about weapons here. Fields' weapons, Lawrence's weapons, Tua's weapons. Mm-hmm. So the weapons help you, man. Look at Joe Burrow. He's a pocket passer. He helped finish as a top 10 QB because of T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep. I agree. Ike, I know you kind of touched on it already, but what are you thinking?
I'd go Tua, then probably Fields, and then Lawrence.
I knew you wouldn't agree.
I don't
know
why.
That's my order as well.
I don't know why everyone loves Lawrence all of a sudden. I mean,
dude, it was Peyton Manning coming out of the draft.
You know how much. Granted, he had Urban Meyer coaching him last year, whatever. He was so bad last year. He was just as bad as Justin Fields, and all he got more was Christian Kirk.
Urban Meyer was
not like Christian Kirk's godsend.
Urban Meyer
I know, I said he
plays.
Had.
That's
I know, that's why I said he had Urban Meyer, whatever. It is what it is. It's not like this
that's
dude's going to be a
it
godsend.
It is what it is. That's probably the worst coaching hire ever in the NFL history.
I mean,
can you name a worse one?
But Fields had Matt Nagy.
Trestman, probably.
Trestman lasted longer.
Yeah, but he was bad. He just didn't treat his players bad.
And he wasn't an asshole.
Exactly.
And he at least knew how to run an offense. Your defense was shit, but he at
Still,
least knew how to run an offense.
Just because they got what Doug Peterson doesn't mean it's going to make Trevor
a
Lawrence.
A Super Bowl winning coach?
That doesn't mean he's going to make Trevor Lawrence better. Maybe Trevor Lawrence just got too hyped, and he played on a really good team with really good weapons.
He made Big Dick Nick better.
He, the hell did you just say?
And hey, Big Dick
Nick, he had to play one good game.
No, he didn't. He made the entire playoff run because Carson Wentz got injured.
Yeah,
and also, good point here. Dean said he made Carson Wentz an MVP candidate.
Carson Wentz was the third, the top three pick first, wasn't he?
No, before he got injured, he was number one.
He was a first pick, Michael Plant. Of course, people are going to think he's good.
No,
of course he's going to have a chance at MVP.
No, that's not. No, you're not just at a chance at MVP just because you're a top pick.
What? If you're doing good, yeah. And why isn't Doug Peterson the one that made him that good?
All right, I'm searching right now because you anger me. Carson Wentz. That year, he was doing really good. He finished with
I know. What are you saying?
He played 13 games and had 33 touchdowns with 7 picks, and that was with Doug Peterson. He's been with Frank Reich, who's considered a good
after
coach.
A torn ACL that ruined his pretty much ruined his mobility, which he needed, and so it fucked up his career.
It ruined his mobility, but since that torn ACL, he's had – when was the torn ACL? I believe it was 18-19. He's had 62
rushing attempts.
The year
you were literally just talking about.
Oh, yeah. Touche. The year he came back from it, he had 34 rushing attempts, a career
That's
low.
That's not that but good.
After that, it's been 62, 52, and 57. So his ACL's fine. You can't use that as an excuse anymore.
I'm not – I'm his mobility. Is he getting the amount of yards and touchdowns as he did before?
We're kind of getting off the tracks, guys. We were talking about Trevor Lawrence.
Actually,
now we're talking about Wentz.
I was just saying that Doug Peterson made Carson Wentz look good, to Dean's point.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you, but you also got to remember that you're not taking into effect how shitty of a situation Justin Fields was with the way Matt Nagy ran that offense last year. I'm not saying Matt Nagy can't run an offense. He can run an offense. He just can't run an offense tailored to anything but the system that he knows, if
totally
that makes sense. Because Fields was set up for so shit, man. When you're facing Cleveland and the Bears' offensive line is as bad as we talked about, and they're just letting Myles Garrett go one-on-one with a tackle, Justin Fields is just getting sacked 8 times. You know, just dog shit coaching, you know, in his first start.
I get that.
They're kind of one of the same, to be honest with you. I agree that both of them
are
going to get better.
Can you honestly say that Fields is in a better situation than last year? That much better?
He is in it. Definitely he's in a better situation than he was last year just because of the
coaching. His receivers got worse. His O-line got worse.
His O-line
did not get worse. His defense got
worse.
I mean, we're talking about coaching too.
Coaching is
the only
thing
that got better. That's the only thing.
You don't think that matters? You were just blabbing on and on about how Doug Peterson made Carson Wentz, man. I get it.
It does
that,
matter.
I get
but
it.
He also has better weapons. I think that Jacksonville has a better O-line. And
still,
I think there's a chance
great.
It's better than the Bears. That's the point. He's in a better situation.
Yeah. Who has the better offensive play? Who's better? Darnell Mooney? Or a Jaguars offensive player?
Probably Christian Kirk is who you would compare it to.
He's not better than
Darnell
right. Mooney.
You're right. Understandable. All right. Name the next Bears receiver.
Byron Pringle, Equanimeous.
Is
a.
he
Brown,
better? Is he better than
Cole
Marvin
Komet?
Jones?
No.
Is he better than Zay Jones?
No.
All right.
No, but I'd rather have Cole Kmet than Marvin Jones.
But we're talking about receivers. You can't change the subject on me.
We're talking about weapons. Yes, exactly.
I know, but at that moment, you said Darnell Mooney, the number one receiver for the Bears. We were talking about wide receivers, and then you changed the subject to tight ends. So I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just stay on topic with me. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I do like the Jaguars' weapons, but to an extent. They kind of got a hodgepodge.
Dean, don't be sorry.
they kind of got a hodgepodge of shit going on there, too. Like, Evan Ingram, he's not good. Zay Jones, he's not good either. Like,
you're forgetting about Dan Arnold. You were on his ass all year last year.
That's because of the volume Dan Arnold was getting, man. But yeah, I think we should probably move on. What do you guys think?
That's fair. We should.
Let's just rapid fire these mailbag questions, guys.
There's a couple ones we could probably go into more detail with, but yeah, go ahead.
was offered Breece Hall and either Brian Robinson or Tyler Allgeier for Travis Etienne, James Robinson, and a third round pick. Keeper league thinking about keeping or thinking about taking it. What do you, Ike? What do you think?
I'd rather have Breece Hall and Brian Robinson. Not a big fan of having the same running back on the same or running backs on the same team.
I love Etienne. You guys know how much I love Etienne, but I actually said the same thing. And LaPlante, I'm going to throw this to you. I'm probably going to catch you off guard here. But since we didn't talk about it at the top of the show, let's talk about the Brian Robinson hype. Are you buying in now that he's kind of looking like he could be the lead back in the offense?
I mean, I'm not buying in that he's going to be the lead back in this offense, but you do got to take it into account with this training camp news. I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt, but him getting first team reps and Antonio Gibson, you know, being resorted to special teams is a sign. How super big weird. Of a sign? It is super weird, but how big of a sign is it? You know, is that that's what we got to figure out. And I think everybody's kind of overreacting a little bit too much. I mean, I do like Brian Robinson as a talent, but again, we're still on a, again, projected to be a terrible offense. So these red zone attempts that he's going to be taking over Antonio Gibson, there's probably not going to be very many of them as it is. But I still like this trade because I agree with you 100%. I don't like having two running backs on the same team. And if it's a keeper league and if Breece Hall hits, man, you got a keeper for years.
Indeed.
Ago. Yeah, for sure. Breece Hall, we could be looking at Breece Hall next year as a first round pick in fantasy.
It's possible
if he bang bangs and the Jets aren't a total shit show on offense.
I mean, James Robinson was an RB1 when the Jags were a total shit show before they had Trevor Lawrence. So
David Montgomery was an RB1 when they're
they got receiving a total work,
shit show 2 years ago. You know,
it's about volume.
Like, yeah. I don't know if Breece Hall will get. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if he will.
That's the thing. If he bang bangs, according to Dylan.
Bang bang. Next question we got. He has the fourth pick in a 14-team snake draft on Thursday. Two running backs, two wide receiver, two flex, one tight end, and five bench spots. Go back-to-back receiver, or should I try to get RBs early? If Jefferson is there at four, I kind of have to take it. Haha. I agree with you. If Jefferson's at four, I agree that you take it. I kind of went on that. I went on that rant at the beginning of the podcast about what I would do, especially with getting Justin Jefferson at 104. I did it 2 weeks ago when we did that draft, when I went Justin Jefferson, Mike Evans and Kyle Pitts that way. But what would be your guys' game plan here with that roster construction?
I mean, I know it's very vanilla, but I always got to start it off with it is, you know, whoever falls to you at that four spot. I mean, you could have somebody that really likes Jefferson or not Jefferson, but, you know, let's say somebody like an Eckler. Maybe he sneaks his way into the top four and you got somebody like CMC falling to you.
Well, what if it goes Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry? Are you taking Eckler over Justin Jefferson? Or are you going Justin Jefferson there?
My only thing here, and I wish he really would have put this, is it PPR or is it half PPR?
Because let's go PPR here, man. That's what fine. We do on this show. Let's go there.
That's fine with me. Now, if it was three wide receivers, I'm all gung-ho for Justin Jefferson.
Exactly.
But this is two wide receivers and two flexes.
If we're going PPR and the two flexes, it's pretty much three wide receivers, in my opinion. But no. Please go on.
That is your opinion, and it's a fair opinion. I'll give you that. But when it comes to a flex, it's called a flex for a reason. You can play any position in there other than a quarterback if you need to in a pinch. I mean, because that's what it's there for. When it comes to those wide receiver spots, you need to put a wide receiver there, and you're probably wanting to put a top-tier guy there. All right? Now, with two, we talked about this earlier, you can find somebody like a Cooper Kupp in the, you know, fifth round, a Stephon Diggs in the sixth round, where it happens every year, guys. There's always a wide receiver that sneaks into that top 12. We saw it with Mike Williams last year. I mean, I know he just snuck in there, but it is possible. So I still look at it. If you get, I mean, if you have three RBs going in front of you, there is a tier drop there. Go Justin Jefferson, and you're hoping, you know, an RB falls to you there. But with 14 teams, man, I'm concerned about that running back depth and that scarcity, and I would really like to get an Eckler in that top tier if you are like me.
Ike, what do you think? 14 teams, you going with the running back and Eckler there, or are you going to go Justin Jefferson?
I'm going running backs. Especially at 14 teams, you can get a receiver later.
Bingo. It's the 14 team. If it was 10, oh, man, go that receiver. You're going to have tons of running backs in the back end.
Even with the you two know, running backs, two wide receivers.
Exactly. But 14, easy. Man.
It's easier to fill up.
There's going to be a lot of good players taken before you get that second.
It's going to go running back heavy. I know. It will.
It's just usually how it goes. Now, unless your league is a little bit different, maybe they favor wide receivers, and you know it. That's the first number one rule of a draft. Know your league.
Yeah.
For sure. And it, guys, if you want to check out an awesome draft strategy podcast, check out the Fantasy Six Pack Hour from last week, which Michael Plant produces. And they did it with Kate Majuk from Ball Blast. It was a very, very, great very, episode. Very good episode. Go on and check that out. The next mailbag question is standard league question, guys. 12-man redraft. Pick number 4, Najee Harris or Dalvin Cook, assuming JT, DH, and Christian McCaffrey are gone. DH is Derrick Henry, obviously.
This one's so tough. Not
Najee Harris or Dalvin Cook in a standard league. Who has the higher touchdown upside, guys?
It's not necessarily touchdown upside, too. It's yards. I mean, they're getting points for the yards, but you're chasing touchdowns in a standard league. Mm-hmm. You are right. So you're looking for volume. Both these guys have volume in Najee Harris and Dalvin Cook. Now, I'd probably edge the volume just a little bit for Najee, just because he doesn't have someone like Alexander Mattison knocking at the back door. But there is a lot of favorite word in fantasy football. There's a lot of touchdown regression positively for Dalvin Cook this year. We get a better offense, which means we expect them to move the ball a lot more. The pace of play is going to be a lot higher. So a lot more scoring opportunities for Dalvin Cook. And if you're a standard league, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I think it's Dalvin Cook as well. Like you were talking about yards, obviously. Dalvin Cook's going to – sorry. Najee Harris, we saw last year, is not the most efficient running back.
And it's not his fault.
No, it's the terrible offensive line. And the offensive line is still not good in Pittsburgh. So nope. I lean Dalvin Cook as well. I could give it a clean sweep here.
I would want to because I would hope one of you guys would do Najee. But I'll go with Najee. He had a really good year last year. Granted, he had Big Ben with him or whatever. But as long as they could get down into the red zone, it's going to go to Najee Harris because you're not going to trust Mitch Trubisky necessarily throwing in the red zone. Dylan, me and you have watched him for years. He's not good in the red zone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So going to Najee short or running it, I mean, we could see 10-plus touchdowns for sure. And I know I like it more.
My only concern here is, and I'll keep it short, part of my concern with Najee's volume is, was it attributed to Ben's terrible passing ability?
Maybe.
Downfield passing ability? Is that part
luckily
of the
they got so much
volume? I mean, it's an upgrade, not much of an upgrade, but it's an upgrade nonetheless. And two, we've seen this a couple years ago with Claypool. With Matt Canada's offense, they like to run the play action sweeps and all these fun little, you know, motion effects close to the goal line. So I wouldn't necessarily pencil in Najee Harris for all those touchdowns because that year that Claypool got, you know, 10 touchdowns, they weren't all deep touchdowns. They were a lot of those play action sweeps too.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And then we got a live question here from our pal Brandon. What up, bro?
Hey, Brandon.
Hey.
Are any of us in on Bills running backs this year? Ike.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to kick it to you. Give us your Devin Singletary spiel, man.
I like Devin Singletary and James Cook, actually. James Cook more for, like, a depth. And if he turns out, you can put him in your flex, which could very well happen. He definitely has, especially in PPR, he has that value. And we all saw, I mean, most of us saw what Devin Singletary did at the end of the year last year.
Absolutely awesome.
Granted, it was 4 or 5 games or whatever. But even if he does half of that, he'll smash where he's going right now as running back 28, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in that range. Yeah.
No, I actually got him on sleeper as running back 33, which is kind of atrocious.
Yeah, Jesus.
29 ADP for the consensus of all of them put together on Pros. But yeah, you're still getting a solid deal on it. He's a top 12 back the last four games last year. You know, and you're getting him at running back 29. That goes back, man. Waiting on running back. If you can,
that's he's one saying. Guy you could target.
David Montgomery, AJ Dillon, Devin Singletary, those three, and you're pairing them with three stud receivers. It's not awful, guys. That's what I'm thinking on.
Everyone's high on Rashad Penny because you know last year he won people
another
leagues,
guy.
You know with the league the last four games he had to finish out the season. These are Devin Singletary's last four games. 15.6. Oh man, that's not even. Yeah, that's standard. Well, let's get PPR in there. 16.6 PPR against Carolina, 18.8 against New England, 23 versus Atlanta, and 25.2 versus the Jets. I know those are prime matchups, man, but you're in a great offense, and if he can get a tear like that going.
Again, but at least close to that, he'll be fine.
Only two of those games he reached 20 rushing attempts.
How about touches, though?
Touches, he reached 20, all right? But that's what you're looking
for
in that running back. That's what you're looking for, though. You know, in the
it'll pick, be harder you know, to do 29, James Cook, though.
Pick 29 for RB, getting somebody who has 20 plus touches in a good offense. I love Singletary like you do.
Don't be scared of him.
Just he's great value.
If you don't have a piece of that Bills offense, that's someone to take a stab at late just to get a piece of that offense because it's got to be a top five offense in the league.
I'm scared, man. They like using Zach Moss to vulture those touchdowns. That's my one bugaboo.
That's one thing, yeah.
But that's my only thing.
Couple more questions here, and then we're gonna wrap it up. Excuse me.
Wrap it up.
Where do you feel comfortable drafting CMC, Ike?
I'm gonna be the one guy that says this, but I don't feel comfortable drafting him. So I'll take the risk and let somebody else go with it. It could bite me in the ass, but hey.
What if you have the 102 and Jonathan Taylor gets picked? Who are you going then?
PPR, right?
Yes.
That's our show. Name of the game.
This is the problem, man. Because you could very well give me the case that Christian McCaffrey still should be the number one pick in fantasy football. The problem is he's so goddamn sketchy. Yes.
Do you want to get burned? Which you can get burned by any running back and any player in any situation. So I don't want the headache. I'm sorry.
But if he hits, man, if
he'll
he
beat
plays
me.
All
he'll beat my ass.
Games,
so.
Yeah, he's going to spank that ass.
Anytime, Brandon.
You know,
it's a tough call.
Honestly, Snaith is 101, 102. You can take him there. So if you really feel like he can play a full season, go for it.
You know, Matthew Berry says all the time, you can't win your league in the first round. You can lose your league, definitely, though. This is the one player I think that breaks that motto.
I could win you the league with Christian McCaffrey.
You can lose by drafting him, but you can win by drafting him. So it's weird. It's weird.
So I think he's absolutely, you know, it's – I think you're going to get weird looks for it, but I'm comfortable taking him at the 101. You know, it's depending on how ballsy you feel. You know, if you're the type that, you know, you like to load up on RBs late in the draft, fuck, go for it, man. You're going to get somebody that's going to win you weeks when he's healthy. This is a guy that averages 23.2 points a game PPR when he's healthy in a game. By far, one of the best
Which is unfortunately averages. Like 10 of his past 34 games. So
no, that's career total. That's
no, everything. I meant like his health lately has been 10 to 30. So
agreed.
I mean,
but man, when he's on the field, he's nuclear. So
yes, he is.
It's nuclear. Totally rational to take him at the 101. It's just you better have a solid draft strategy to get some guys in the later rounds to at least make you feel a little bit safer.
AJ Dillon, Devin Singletary, Rashad Penny. You know, guys
yeah,
like
maybe
that.
Maybe go a C-Mac and then just load three straight receivers and then go that RB2 maybe.
Mm-hmm. And yes, hammer that RB2. Next question here. This is from our buddy Pete. Shout out, Pete. What's up, man? How do you feel about the rookie running backs / wide receivers? Do you see any stepping into an immediate role? Which players you have to wait to start? And do you think their ADP is too high, too low, or where it should be? I'll just go ahead and start. I think it's Breece Hall and Drake London. I think you could start Drake London in your flex from day one, and Breece Hall, where he's going as RB23-ish, you could start him as your RB2 and just kind of roll right into it. And that's what I'm thinking. You guys got anything else?
Man, I just want to monitor Drake London's injury a little bit. Everything seems to be pointing up for him, but I am just a little curious redraft purposes. But, I mean, I'm not going to go chalky like you. I love Dameon Pierce, man. You want to talk about a guy that's going in, going into an immediate role? It's Dameon Pierce. Yeah, the offense is shit. But you're getting one of those RBs we were talking about we can get late in the draft that can cover CMC's ass if we need to. I'm not going to go chalky on you. Keep an eye out for Romeo Dubs.
Dobbs,
Dubs. I don't care, man. Packers in six. I don't care, man. This guy's good.
Packers in six. What's that even mean?
It's a Dubs, Dubs.
It's that meme.
Yeah.
With the Jay Cutler meme with the cigarette hanging on.
But no, I love his talent. He has shocked me coming out of training camp with the dudes. You know, I turned a blind eye to it, try to not be biased. But man, when I watch him on the field, I mean, Gary can agree with me on this, man. It's hard to pass up the eye test on this guy. This guy looks good as a late round draft, you know, dart. You know, they got to throw the ball in Green Bay, and it could be Romeo Dubs.
You want to call me chalky? Let me throw this one at you now. What do you think about, what do you think about Wandale Robinson as a late round flyer?
That's so a little
twitchy,
better.
Man. He's so twitchy. Perfect slot receiver. He's going to be
the slot receiver, yep.
Mm-hmm. Get the ball in his hands and just let him go. That's a name right there for you guys. But that's real deep. He could. There is that's a scenario. There is a realm of possibilities. Very long shot here, guys. Wandale Robinson could lead that team in targets. If
I don't know about that, but he can surpass Kenny Galladay. I think that'll be easy.
He might.
But Kadarius Toney might be the guy.
Yeah, like I was in on Galladay where he was going earlier this offseason, but he looks washed. I'm done with him. The guy that I want in this offense, if I'm not
getting, you see his fade,
Wandale Robinson.
Kenny Galladay's fade route, beautiful.
he looks like a
little like jab move. Not even. It's just like there goes the ball.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Gary, I'm confused a little bit. What do you mean by where is Tom? We hadn't been talking about Tom.
No, he's at the Masked Singer. Where is he at? He's actually back at practice, Gary.
Yes, he is back at practice now.
But he probably went on vacation or something.
Maybe the Masked Singer. My theory is maybe he was doing something for Fox as the broadcaster. Maybe doing like an internship.
His kid's birthday was not too long ago.
His kid's birthday. There's a whole bunch of shit. It's totally weird. It's totally weird. But if anyone can get it. Yeah, if anyone can get away with it, it's Tom Brady, but it's totally weird.
It is totally weird. Now, you know what's weird here, guys, and I give total credit to Brandon here because I kind of overlooked this one. I mean, granted.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say.
Was it who you were going to say? Yeah. All right, I'll let you go ahead.
No, it's
go good. For it, Ike.
No, yeah, no, spew it.
I think this is the guy you want. He's definitely going to be going late in drafts, which I think is a little too low. But I think he's going to easily take over Chase Claypool. I think Chase Claypool is a dork.
He a total knucklehead, total dork.
And you think slow down, but George Pickens looks incredible, man. He knows where to spot his feet already in the back of the end zone. He knows his routes. He's powerful. He kind of reminds me of a smaller DK a little bit. He can run block.
He's way smaller than DK, dude. DK's a monster.
DK's only six. I mean, George Pickens, 6'4".
AJ Green.
That's...
AJ Green. AJ Green coming out of college was an animal. That man didn't take shit. You don't remember?
Yeah, but he got tossed around by Cortland Finnegan.
No, that was. I don't think that was him. I think he was in the Deontay Johnson fight with Cortland Finnegan.
That's the first thing that came to mind with that.
Yeah, that Cortland Finnegan. He would always get in fights with Ike Taylor. Man, he didn't take shit from nobody. So he kind of reminds me of a young AJ Green.
Can I stick
I like up Pickens for a lot, though.
Can I stick up for Brandon DeGroote for what?
No.
For 1 second? No?
No.
I'm going to anyways. I don't have the stat pulled, but it was something like Claypool, the 24 snaps that Claypool played in the preseason.
Oh, it was the slot.
He lined up in the slot.
14 of 16.
Good luck guarding Chase Claypool in the slot. That big motherfucker, man, lining up against that big.
But he's got no inside ability. It's just going to be, all right, go deep out down the middle.
I get it, man. But I want to like all these receivers, but it's goddamn Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett throwing him the football. So, which is the odd man out? And the
give Kenny some credit. He looked good in preseason.
He does
preseason.
But I will say the odd man out, if I had to guess it, that it looks like right now, it's probably Claypool. But there's still a smidgen of hope for him because he's playing in the slot, in my opinion.
Sure.
Man, my concern is George Pickens' attitude. I've seen a play where he got blocked and he got taken down to the ground. And when he got taken down to the ground, he kicked the defender off of him. Dude's going to get flagged for that in right. regular season games. So that's my one concern.
Like I said, man, he's like DK.
Yeah, but DK didn't get flagged for that kind of stuff. All right, on to the next question here, though, because I think we hit a decent amount right there of rookies that can make an immediate impact.
Yeah, for sure. I think we should just finish out on this question, LaPlante, because we already kind of talked about Jefferson, Kupp, and Chase. Let's just go. How big of a carry share will Javonte Williams get in Denver this season? I'll start. I think it's going to be a 70-30 split. I really do. I'm kind of in on Javonte Williams where he's going in drafts. It was a little too early this previously in the offseason, but he's going as RB11. Which is borderline running back one. But we saw the talents there, guys. And the only thing holding it back is old man Melvin Gordon. But
it's not that quarterback position anymore.
He is 30, isn't he, Ike?
29, I think.
29.
That's that age barrier, though, guys. He's hitting it.
Yeah, but he also hasn't had the full workload of an RB that's, you know, like a Zeke, gone to age 29. Melvin Gordon's always been kind of like the secondary back in an offense. I mean, he was the main back with Austin Eckler.
Been committee most of the time.
But it's bingo, committee. That's, so he doesn't have the full, like, I mean, if I looked it up, I bet Melvin Gordon probably has as many carries in his career as Derrick Henry. And Melvin Gordon, I believe, has been in the league longer than Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry hasn't.
At least starting.
Way too many times.
But that's the whole thing, is like Melvin Gordon hasn't had that much volume. That's why he's still able to do it.
Do you think it's going to be a 50-50 split like last year, or do you think it's going to be more in favor of Javonte? Because we saw 60-40. How flipping good that guy is, man.
60-40.
And Melvin Gordon kind of even came out and said that the plan is for Javonte to be the guy, man. So that's where I'm leaning. I like him.
I mean, as much as I, you know, love what the coaching staff is saying, let's be honest here. Who's running this offense? It's Russell Wilson, guys. It's who he likes. That's who he's going to want in. Who's pass pro protecting the best? Who's, you know, getting to the spot when they need to get to the spot? Who is doing what Russell Wilson wants? Because as we see, like Tom Brady, he wants the guy that knows what he's doing in there. If Javonte struggles with that, man, I could see Melvin Gordon making that way into that 50-50 role again. But if Javonte can take that leap into being a better pass protector, which I'm guessing was the reason why they kept Melvin Gordon around, was just as that insurance policy for it. If he can get better at that, I think he gets that 60-65% workload. But I will say this, though, guys, and everybody is just so, so high on Javonte this year. And we always see it. We always say it. We want to see it first. We saw glimpses of it. We didn't see a full workload. We saw glimpses of it. We saw a 50-50 split. He's a great committee
member. Near the end of the year, he was around 60-40, and he ended up RB8.
Near the end of the year, he still wasn't consistent. I was talking with this with Dylan earlier before this. He still had an 11-point game. after he had his 19, 20, and 23-point game. That's not that great if you're getting a guy at RB12.
But you'd like to think his work share should be more, man. That's the thing.
You would like to think that, yes.
One more question to end on, guys. Brandon goes, what about Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon? Same question.
Don't be sorry either. We love the questions.
Yes. I think that's going to be like a 55-45 split, Brandon, to be honest with you. I think Aaron Jones is going to get a lot of, you know, work at the passing game. Might even line up in the slot a little bit as a wide receiver. You might see both of them on the field at the same time. I'm really high on A.J. Dillon. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty even split.
I know, I swear. Right? It's like you have liquidized version of AJ Dillon, and you are just injecting it into your veins, man.
Let's go, man. I'm planting my
AJ Dillon's going to get the majority of the carries. We can all
no, that, right? I don't have that set it out. I have Aaron Jones set it out with more carries, but it's not by much.
I'm planting my flag in that big ass quad of his, man. That's
I got 52% of the running back workload going to Aaron Jones, and I got 48% going to A.J. Dillon. I mean, I know I'm nitpicking here, but I do think Aaron Jones is still going to get majority of the carries. He's the guy Aaron Rodgers trusts in the red zone when it comes to passing the ball, which we've seen that Aaron Rodgers likes to pass the ball within the five-yard line. So, yes, I know they got rid of Davante Adams, but how do we know we're not going to pass it to Aaron Jones again? That's what they like doing in the red zone.
Go ahead.
He already led the team in carries last year. Granted, Aaron Jones missed a few games, but I still think he's going to be the main runner because they're going to want to put Aaron Jones all around the offense.
Last year's, I mean, he had 100. Aaron Jones had 171 rushing attempts last year.
Yeah, and Jay Dillon had like 180.
That's not that much. I know that's not that much, and if they are projected to run it a little bit more, I'm projecting Aaron Jones just a smidge more of that because of the trust with Aaron Rodgers.
I get that. I mean,
but AJ why Dillon, wouldn't you trust AJ Dillon though?
Yeah, he is going into his third season, man.
He led the team in carries and yards.
And he's not incompetent catching the ball either. I know we haven't seen it a ton, but he can do it. But go ahead, LaPlante.
I'm just saying. I think they're both going to be good. Great. We're nitpicking. Yeah. Absolutely. I just think the ceiling is a little bit more in Aaron Jones' favor with the pass work, you know, because we work on PPR.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about rushing share, to be honest.
Well, let me throw it 30 seconds,
That's
guys.
Fair. It could be the same rushing share, but yeah, go ahead.
Who would you rather have at cost? Would you rather wait on A.J. Dillon, or are you okay taking Aaron Jones early in drafts? He is currently going both.
Running back 9, 10.
Running. Jones going at running back 12 and overall the 20th player off the board, so mid-second round pick.
I think that's great value for a guy we've seen finish in the top 5 before.
And it's not like he's going to fall out of the top 12.
I think both of them have great value. I don't know you can go wrong with either of them. I don't know why, but you know what? I didn't have my little rant earlier, but this is my rant. Man, respect the Green Bay running backs. I know they haven't had any good ones in past years, but man, this is probably the best tandem they've had in their history. I mean, they're gonna run the ball, and I don't think their ADP is caught up with their actual, you know, what they're gonna finish at this year. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you can go wrong with either.
Yeah, no, I agree. But let's get out of here, guys. But before we do, I just want to remind you to all please subscribe to the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel. We really appreciate it. Smash that like button, follow, like wherever you listen to your podcasts. It goes a long way, guys. It really does. You can follow me at dclevis2222. You can follow Mike LaPlante at @BLike_Mike with two eyes, and you can follow Ike at Ike2121. We will be back next Tuesday for another show. And then I think, guys, we are back to our normal schedule of Friday nights for game previews, right? Mm-hmm. We're 2-3 weeks away from the season, guys, and it can't come any sooner.
I love it, Tyler.
Grab my shoe stings, DJ.
He's got the memory of an elephant from last year with those Sunday morning shows.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Sunday morning shows. But yeah, guys, check out everything else that's on the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel too. We got a ton of great shows right now. Adam just released the Everyday Fantasy Football podcast, you know, the F6P Hour, the Fantasy Edge, you know, everything. We got a lot of content coming.
DFS Den with Dave. You can win some good money if you listen to his tips.
There's just so much more coming, and we should have a live video, or we should have a podcast or video coming mostly every single day for you guys. So check it out.
Until next week, it's going to be overflowing with content, Dylan.
Yes, sir. But for Mike and Ike, I'm Dylan. We'll talk to you guys next week. See you later.